Welcome to Sunday Morning at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
Well, if you'll find your notes that were in your bulletin when you walked in this morning, we're going to look at a subject that is very critical to us. We just finished the series and battles we have to win, and I want to talk to you this morning about how to always win, how to have triumph, even in the midst of trouble. Romans chapter 8, 35. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Well, we've just sung that, haven't we? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? The answer? No, Mike, I can hear that. Okay, there you go. As the scriptures say, for your sake we're killed every day. We're being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. So we're going to talk about that victory today. First of all, we have to deal with the reality of trouble. The reality of trouble. There was a misconception going on or a wrong teaching. I don't know how it got started. Maybe it's just in people's minds. If I accept God in my life, and if I do everything just right and live a perfect life, I won't have any trouble. Okay? That is not true. And so you and I have to understand no one is immune from trouble. Someone once said, I got so many troubles that if anything bad happens today, it'll be 2 weeks before I can worry about it. All throughout the Bible, trouble is addressed, and it's a part of life. There's physical trouble. There's mental and emotional trouble. There's spiritual trouble. There's relational troubles. There's financial troubles. All throughout life, trouble is a reality that you and I have to accept. We're alive, there's going to be trouble. Well, Pastor, why? What's the reason for trouble? What's the reason? Why do these things happen? What's going on? I don't understand. Let me give you just a few reasons. They're the main ones. There's a few more, but these are the main ones. First of all, right in the word self. Self. In other words, in all reality, you are the greatest source of trouble in your life. Trouble is just life. Now, we don't like that. You know, we want to blame something. Played golf Friday. I did not play well. It wasn't my fault. Okay? It was the people I was playing with. If you knew who I was playing with, you'd say, yeah, that's problems right there. It was the clubs. No. It was me. I stunk. Okay? And so many times in life, what we try to do is blame something else, make excuses. It's me. You see, we manufacture most of our trouble. Rebellion, ignorance, willfulness, bad decisions, anger. Self. Second cause of trouble, Satan. Satan. Now, can't tell you how many times I heard people say, well, you know, the devil's just really after me. Well, of course, he's after all of us. What's the big deal? Right? Most of the time, it's not Satan, it's you. Okay? But Satan is there. He is there that when struggles comes, you'll hear this little voice that says, God doesn't love you. God doesn't care for you. God isn't going to help you. You're not going to make it. He wants to cause you to give up on God, doesn't he? And so, you know, Paul was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, he calls it. But God used it. And so I have to understand Satan is involved in this. Thirdly, it's a spiritual test. It's a spiritual test. God never tempts you. But God does test you. He does at times bring trouble into our life. Abraham, it tells us God tested him. Joseph, God tested his character. And sometimes God says, look, I want to help your faith grow. I want to help you become a stronger Christian. I'm going to bring some trouble into your life so that you'll buck up, so that you'll get stronger. I'm doing this for your good. It's a good thing for you. We don't think that, do we? But it is. Another reason for trouble is selfish people. There are just people that you and I have to deal with that are selfish, that we talked about a little bit Wednesday night. Wherever they go, they just create problems. They're like Pigpen in the Charlie Brown comic strip. Wherever they go, it's just one issue after another issue. And there's just people that have to deal with that. And they create problems for us. Last one. This is another big one. It's the stuff of life. Now, please hear me. Sometimes you have problems and troubles simply because you're alive. You're on this wonderful planet that has been cursed because of sin. And things happen. And sometimes we just have trouble because we're here. The body grows old. And that creates trouble sometimes, doesn't it? Well, God's just getting after me. Well, Satan's trying to get me. Well, it's other people. No, you're just getting old. And there's health issues, and that just happens, right? So many times in life, accidents happen. We want to blame someone. We want to tell someone, oh, that's because of this and this. We want a reason. But a lot of times, you know what? Here I am, I'm alive, and as long as I'm here, I'm just going to have to deal with the issues of life that happen. And they just happen because I'm alive still. So those are the main reasons that trouble comes our way. Comes our way because we just make bad decisions. Comes our way because we do something or say something that we shouldn't have done. It comes our way because we didn't do something that we should have done. Satan is there involved trying to get us to go another direction, do something different. God's there wanting us to grow strong and trying to help us in that. Other people are around us and here we are. So we understand that trouble is going to happen. There's a lot of reasons why. But the big thing about trouble is your reaction. The reactions to trouble. Now, some people try to ignore trouble. Some people try to deny it. Some are oblivious to it. You know, have you ever noticed that the same trouble can come to two people and one will laugh and shake it off and the other one will cry and run home to mama? You ever notice that? That some people can face this and that, and it's just some people react differently. Trouble is not disastrous until it meets a negative attitude. Or let me put it to you another way. It's not trouble until you call it trouble. Let me illustrate it. Let's say you and I are talking, and in the course of the conversation, I say something about my wife. And you look at me and say, boy, are you going to be in trouble. I'm looking at you thinking, what did I say? I didn't mean anything. I didn't, you know, oh, you're in trouble. Well, I go home, and my wife says nothing. You know what? I'm not in trouble. But I can go home, and my wife said, so-and-so called me and said, you said, now I'm in trouble. See how it works? You see, so many people are just calling everything trouble, and it's not. And we make little things, oh no, this is a catastrophe. No, it's not. Not unless you say it is. And trouble isn't trouble until you call it trouble, and it's not disastrous until it meets a negative. Oh no, this is going to be horrible. Oh, I can't believe you're doing this. Oh, I can't believe they said that. Oh, I can't. But, and see, you're creating trouble now, aren't you? Hello? We're good at making trouble. And see, little things get said, especially in our culture today. You got to be so political correct, and people don't like you saying this, and oh, you said that. People in church, oh, pastor, I can't believe you said that. Get over it. You know, it's not trouble until you say it's trouble. Oh, I was offended. So, it's not trouble until you say it is. Here's the deal. There's a lot of things in life we're calling trouble that aren't. There's a lot of things happening to us that come and go that we just need to learn how to accept and deal with God's help and God's grace and God's love and God's mercy. So there's a lot of reactions to things that happen. Same thing can happen to two people in two different responses. But here, let's talk about this morning. I want to finish with the response. No matter who caused the problem, no matter who says it's a problem, no matter what kind of trouble you're in, the response is the same. Here's how you respond to trouble. Here's what you do, no matter what kind it is, no matter how great or how small it is, this is the response to it. Reader's Digest said this. I don't know that I fully believe it, but it's interesting. They said, you will only be remembered for two things, the problems you solve and the problems you create. That's pretty good. So how do we turn trouble into triumph? How do we do that? Well, Paul writes to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 about the process and the response that we go to. Notice 2 Corinthians 4 verse 8. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but we're not driven to despair. We're hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we're not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Would you agree with me that as a Christian, what we want is the life of Jesus Christ to be seen in us? Correct? That life is going to be seen in us according to how we handle the troubles of life. What makes us different from anybody else? The people you work with, the people you live next door to, we handle troubles differently. The troubles in our life are there to bring glory and honor to God. The troubles in their life are there for them just to get through. So what's the response? Four things. Number one, constrain your feelings. Constrain your feelings. First part of 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8. We're pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. Now, I've talked to you often about this, but let me say it again in case you're new here, or let me remind you in case you've forgotten. You have to be very careful with the emotions and the feelings of your life. Feelings are real. You hurt my feelings. It's real. We're emotional people. Emotions are real. But emotions make horrible decision makers. You don't make decisions based on your feelings, based on your emotions. Because one moment your emotion, oh, this is wonderful, this is great. And a day later, oh, this is the worst thing in the world. I don't know how I'm going to get through it. Right? Our feelings come and go, don't they? Feelings cannot drive your life. Unfortunately, for many people, they do. Feeling people are very good at spotting trouble and calling it trouble. They always have trouble. Quiet. If you allow your feelings to be in control, you will be defeated by trouble. Guaranteed. Feelings are real. They're a part of life. But you don't allow them to control your life. Boy, I wish I had a lot more time on this. Feelings lie to you. Psalm 34, verse 19, the righteous person faces many troubles, but the Lord comes to the rescue each time. Wow. We're pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. There's emotions that come into play. We're not, you know, Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help us in times of trouble. See, if you're serving God on your emotions, you're only going to serve God when you feel good. When you don't feel good, you're going to allow the enemy to have a playground in your life. See, God's our refuge. God's our strength. We're pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. Oh, I don't know that I can handle anymore. Yes, you can. Now, I've had this talk with God several times in my life, you know, and it goes something like this. God, you and I need to talk about how much you think I can handle. Because I've about had it up to here, and yet it's still here. We've all been there, haven't we? But you know what? We are not crushed. James 1, 2. Dear brothers and sisters, when trouble comes your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Well, that's not something we do often, is it? My wife and I have this line over the course of years. Well, we've got another opportunity for joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect, meaning whole, complete, needing nothing. In other words, God will supply everything you need to deal with what you're going through. And so we constrain our feelings. We don't let our feelings be the boss of our life. Well, I feel really blue today. Well, pick another color. You know, your kids say, I don't feel like doing that. Well, let me help you change your feelings. Your feelings, you can change. You can control. Constrain them. Next, command your fortitude. Command your fortitude. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8. We are perplexed. Boy, that's an understatement. But not driven to despair. I don't understand what's going on. But I don't have to be depressed. I don't have to be discouraged. I don't have to feel despair. I'm not going to give up. In other words, we're perplexed, but we're not driven to quitting. We're not driven to bailing. You summon your strength and you declare that you are not going to be defeated by trouble. That God is there, God will help, and I will not give in to this. I am not a loser. I am a winner with Christ, and he will see me through this, and he will help me, because if God is for me, who can be against me? Hallelujah. And I just say, this is it. Feelings say, oh, go in, wrap yourself in a little ball, just curl up and stay in bed and just don't move and get out until the sun starts to shine. And your fortitude says, suck it up. Get going. Keep moving. The battle's not done. It's not over. The outcome hasn't been determined yet, but I am going to be victorious. If you are going to have victory, you will have to fight. 2 Corinthians 4:16. That's why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. You see that? Renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. You know my line here? Not very long. No more than 100 years. Not very long in the scheme of eternity. Not going to last very long. Yet they produce for us, he's talking about troubles now, a glory that vastly outweighs them all and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see right now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. That's why we never give up. That's why we never quit. Galatians 6:8, those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature, but those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing. A little word here you maybe need to highlight, circle, underline, if. We'll reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. We don't give up. You command your fortitude. I'm going to win this. I'm going to go through with this. God's with me. God will help me. I'm not driven to despair. The battle is the Lord's. Yes. Now please hear me. You will have to fight the emotion of despair. It is a feeling. It will be there. You just cannot let it be in control. Well, how do I do that? The Bible says that whatever things are good and right and pleasing and lovely, think on those things. Yes. So you command your fortitude. Next, confess your faith. Confess your faith. We're hunted down. Wow. But never abandoned by God. Wow. We're hunted down, never abandoned by God. Now please hear this. Faith is never a feeling. Feelings are never faith. Faith is based on the promises of God's word. It's based on the truth of God. And what we do is not choose to give in to the feelings, but we listen to our faith. Faith constantly attributes everything to what the Bible says, no matter what the feelings are. And instead of confessing your troubles, you confess your faith. This is what I believe. This is in whom I believe. This is what I know. This is what God has promised. This is what I can stand on. This is what will get me through. This is who will help me. Faith says that God exists and he rewards those who keep following him. If I keep doing what God wants me to do, trusting him to take me through this time, God will take care of me. We're never abandoned. God's always with us. There is never a moment in your life when you are alone. God is always there. Now, God isn't just there and not paying attention to you. God is there to help you, isn't he? He's there for you to lean on him. He's there for you to trust him. Remember back a verse ago, you know, we're perplexed. God, I don't understand. If you'd listen, you'd hear, you don't need to. Well, God, I want some answers. You don't need them. Oh, Pastor, I do too. No, you don't. God is all you need. That's what we believe, right? God is the answer. God is my strength. God is my source. I'm never abandoned by him. I believe that. Well, Pastor, sometimes God just feels a million miles away. Hear me. God hasn't moved. Maybe you have. He's as close as you want him to be. He's as close. He's close to you. He's there. And if you feel like he's a long way off, you're looking in the wrong direction. Ephesians 6:16, in all addition to all of these, speaking of all the armor that we have to put on, hold up the shield of faith. Some versions say in every battle you fight, you're going to need the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Faith is your defense. 1 Peter 1:7, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. Wow, that's a pretty big statement. Gold's pretty expensive. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Confess your faith. God, you see what's going on. You see the trouble I'm up against. But God, here's what I know. You're with me. You're going to help me. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to stay with you. I don't need to be afraid. I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know how I'm going to do it. But God, you're faithful. I trust you. Final step, control your focus. Control your focus. Chapter 4, verse 9, 2 Corinthians. We get knocked down. You ever felt like life just threw you a punch and almost knocked you out? Took your breath away? Oh, yeah. We get knocked down. But we are not destroyed. We are not destroyed. Through suffering, through troubles, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. You keep your attention focused on God. You keep looking to Him. You keep looking at the promises of God. Hear this. You don't look at what you've lost. You look at what you have left. You don't look at how bad things have been. You look at how things are going to be. We've gotten knocked down, but we're not done. We're not destroyed. The battle's still going on. And when you get knocked down, you get back up and you keep fighting and you keep going, and God will be faithful and He will help you. And you keep looking forward. People who keep looking back will always have wrecks in their life. If you drive your car and the only thing you look at is your rearview mirror, you're going to have some problems. But there's a lot of people living life just looking through the rearview mirror. The regrets. Oh, I wish I wouldn't have. Oh, the past is past. It's done. It's over. You can't go back and undo it. It's done. But the future lies before you, and you have some say in that future. So you control your focus. What are you going to look at? Where are you going to look? It's your call. You see, the people are always calling trouble, oh, there's trouble, oh, that's trouble, oh, that's trouble. Where's their focus? It's always on the problems, isn't it? It's always, oh, I can't believe this, oh, I can't. They need to get their eyes off of all that junk and keep their eyes focused on Christ. Proverbs 4:25. Look straight ahead. Fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out a straight path for your feet and stay on the safe path. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. Boy, is that great verses. Keep going. We get knocked down, but we're not destroyed. You keep your focus on God. These great verses here in Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this, how do we do it? By keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he's seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. It was Jesus was going through the cross. He was looking forward. He saw there was joy ahead. Think of all the hostility he endured for sinful people. then you won't become weary and give up. Give up. You've walked into this building this morning, and maybe there's some of you here today who have experienced some trouble. That right now, you're in the midst of trouble. You're in a battle. You've thought about giving up. You're getting discouraged and feeling despair and thinking, how long is this going to go on? And I don't know that I can handle anymore. And what's going to happen? Hear me today. God wants you to turn trouble into triumph. God wants you to keep going and to see it through. God wants you to be a testimony of His provision and of His ability. This is not just about you, it's about God. And God wants to help you, and God will be there for you, and God will not abandon you, and He will not leave you alone, and He will give you everything that you need to be victorious. So if you're here this morning, and you're dealing with a lot of trouble perhaps, please hear me. Will you take the steps that we've talked about here this morning so that you can be triumphant in your life? And God will be glorified because of it.
Thank you for joining us for today's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Sunday morning at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next week for Sunday Morning. Faith Assembly Sunday Morning is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.